David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. It is Michael Molfin, and he is an inspirational, motivational speaker on the subject of addiction. And today, I'm very honored to have him on my show. He's going to tell you a little about himself and what he does, and he has an incredible story to share. So hold your seats and hold on to your pants, because he's going to take you away to a story that is going to make your mouth drop, and you're just going to want some more. So Michael, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Well, Stacy, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate all the things that you do and getting the word out and your platform and how it reaches so many people. So here at M2 The Rock, we're very grateful to be a part of this. So, I'm an addict, you know, and I'm addicted to everything. And so just a real short, short piece of my story is that, you know, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I grew up in a well-to-do family, you know, and so we had money and, you know, on the outside, grew up in country clubs. I grew up, you know, gambling. I grew up playing golf and grew up, you know, with real estate tycoons and, you know, these men in the locker rooms, they taught me how to gamble and drink and how to treat women. And they taught me how to die. And so little did I know, you know, where that coaching would lead me to a 27 arrest and homeless and then sentenced, to prison as a result of drugs and alcohol. So my story's not unique. I'm not unique, but apparently the public thinks I've got a story, like Forrest Gump. You know, I was on the caddy on the pro golf tour and then one of the most well-known, you know, high-end, you know, luxury home builders in the area, you know, building the air was real thin for the people I built homes for, in the Park Cities in Dallas, yep. And Highland Park and University Park. And so, it's real money, you know, they can afford it. And that's just their level of living. So, that's where I came from. And, you know, I had this awakening while incarcerated, had this spiritual awakening. You know, I didn't grow up in the church, and one trauma I didn't have was religious trauma. You know, I grew up, let me back up a little bit. When I was growing up, on the outside, everything appeared to be normal, the perfect family, but right. Behind closed doors, there was abuse. And as long as I remember as a child, I was sexually abused by my grandfather on the maternal side. And he was a cop. And so it was a first time I kept a secret. And I held that trauma and pain and suffering for a long, long time. And, you know, and so, you know, to find relief, I was searching for visible things to try to fix my invisible problems.
Yeah.
And so drugs and alcohol were my became my drugs. My DOC, which is drug of choice. And, you know, that led me down to the rock bottom. And yeah. So as I was incarcerated after the 27th mugshot, I had this spiritual awakening. I Am Second did a film about this, a 9-minute film, you know, about it. And I had this spiritual awakening in it, and it wasn't like, Christ, come into my life. It wasn't that. It just happened.
Right.
And as a result of it, I was reading to inmates who couldn't read or write. Mm-hmm. And I found myself, doing easy time. I realized, you know, 4 or 5 days later, the reason why I was doing easy time, Stacy, was because I was in the safest place in the world. And that was right here, right now, as a result of serving others, expecting nothing in return.
Yeah,
because I always wanted what you had. So, and then I'll get to you know, after this awakening and reading to, you know, to the tank. And listen, I wasn't this, this jailhouse preacher quoting scripture and all that stuff. And right. I don't do that today, you know, and, you know, when I say Jesus, it comes out just naturally, like I say, Stacy, you know, yeah. It just comes out, you know, naturally. I don't use him as a marketing tool.
Right.
But, you know, one thing that I did realize is that when I had that awakening, I felt this forgiveness and this peace. We talk about that void in our heart, that dark space that I kept trying to fill.
Yeah.
And it was filled with the Spirit. And as a result of forgiveness, Matthew 6:14-15, first person in the state of Texas history to be accidentally released from prison. And so made the journey 300 miles back to Judge Bennett, who is my professional photographer of all my mugshots. But I made the journey back 300 miles to turn myself in. And she had heard what had happened to me. And she saw the transformation just in my eyes. You know, you feel it. You know, when someone's in active addiction, you can see it, right?
Yes.
And also when someone's in recovery, you can see it.
Yeah.
And so she set me free and said, you know, go pay it forward. And that's what I'm doing today.
That's beautiful. It's an amazing story, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go. I mean, I still pinch myself, and you know, it's, you know, I didn't have a business plan when I was locked up. You know, none of this, you know, M2 the Rock is, you know, of course my name's Michael Moulton, so yeah. M2, and the Rock. I finally realized that all these times I was hitting my head on this rock at the bottom, it was the same rock,
right.
And then I finally realized that all these times it was God at the bottom. So I stayed there, and I let godly men bring me out, and they were prisoners who were doing life for murder who helped me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard because, you know, there's so many people, 70% of people come from dysfunctional homes, and there are so many people out there that use, you know, drugs and alcohol as a coping mechanism. Even people who just have hard days at work and they're just under high levels of stress. So many people grab alcohol, you know, or certain types of drugs just to get the edge off, you know, and no one realizes the consequences and how easily you could become addicted, you know, and like you mentioned, an addictive personality, there are lots of people out there that have addictive personalities, you know, that can so easily become addicted to things. And then there are people who just use it because they just can't cope. They don't know how to cope, you know, because they're hurting so bad.
That's right. That's right. And I can relate to all that. And, you know, it leads into, you know, what I do today. You know, they say I'm an inspirational, motivational speaker and author. But I go speak and the tour is surrounded by, we are all addicts.
Yes.
Okay? We are all addicts, you know, drugs and alcohol, you know, it has a stigma. It has a stigma to it because of, our behaviors are so severe. And then the consequences are so severe. And so it's kind of set that bar that high. And they say, well, if I don't do this, you know, I'm not an addict. I don't have addictive personality, you know? And that's completely wrong because addiction is simply the street name for spiritual stronghold or false idols.
Mm-hmm.
And I can break it down even more simple is that addiction, it's a person, it's a place. It's a thing, and here's a scary one, Stacy, or a thought that becomes my source.
Yeah.
So when I am reaching for these visible things to try to fix the invisible problem,
right.
I'm in active addiction. So I always say, when I wake up in the morning and my eyes are open, I'm in full-blown relapse.
Right.
But recovery is I recognize the behaviors.
Yeah.
You know? If I'm wanting to go buy something and I don't need it, and I'm like, I look at myself, why am I going to go buy this? You know, I don't need this. You know, what it is I'm trying to change the way I feel.
Right. And a lot of people go from one addiction to the next addiction, you know, when they're in recovery, you know, they swap addictions, not even, you know, realizing it, because that's just the mentality. It's breaking that addiction, that behavioral, addiction that we carry is very hard to do.
And that there's a name to that, and it's called cross addiction. you know, and it's also relapse. I'm in full blown relapse. And if I don't catch it, all right, I will end up back drinking and drugging because I want more, 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 more. And I forget, you know, that the solution is the main core root of what the real problem is for me. All right. Yeah. And I hope your, you know, viewers understand this, is that I'm in fear. That's what it is. I'm in fear, and I didn't have the tools on how to process fear. And so the solution to fear is real simple, is to talk about it, you know, with a counselor or a therapist or a mentor. In the recovery world, they have sponsors, and you know, you call that sponsor and our mentor, and you say, hey, you know, I'm in fear and I'm thinking about some things.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And the sponsor will literally say, you're making this up. You're making this up. And you feel better. You feel better because you talked about it. It doesn't grow legs. You know, your thoughts don't become your actions. And, you know, that's what I work on today.
I think it's so important, you know, for people to be able to talk about it. So many people keep their pains inside and they don't let go. And that's why I think group therapy or being able to have a therapist or even have your sponsor is so important, because once you, it's very hard to get those repressed emotions, all those things that happen to you and things that happen to me and things that happen to other people. You know, a lot of times you repress all those emotions, and that's one of the root causes that brought you to where you're at, you know, in your worst times. And the thing is, how do we release that? There are so many people that have gone through so much, because everybody has a story. But, you know, there are so many people out there that use addiction and they used, you know, drugs and alcohol as a way to cope. But how, you know, they say you have to hit rock bottom. But if you recognize you have a problem, you know, can you save yourself before that? Can you maybe get the help you need and be able to get that repression and all those emotions out?
Oh, well said. That is our slogan, is, you know, into the rock is raising. We want to raise the meaning of rock bottom. And what that means is we want to raise the bottom. Okay. Yeah. And getting our message out there to people who still have everything. You know, they still have everything, and to go, man, I hear his story and I don't want that to happen to me. Or people hear it like I used to do when I had a lot of money and I was successful by the worldly standards. Right. Okay. But is that I would hear, you know, stories of like mine, and I go, man, that's horrible. I'll never be like that yet. Okay. Which is an acronym for you're eligible too. And so, you know, so one of my missions is to raise the meaning of rock bottom. Right. But you're exactly right. And so to answer your original question is how do we do that? Is that we educate, you know, we educate and we get it out there, and it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to, you know, asking for help is that slogan, and that is accurate and that does work. But here's what saved my life. This is where the transformation came for me, is when I said these three words: I don't know. Okay. I don't know why I'm doing the things I'm doing. And I'm willing to go to any length to change.
Right.
And I know it's going to be painful, you know, and it's just growth. It's like working out, you know, to get your muscles bigger, you add more weight.
Right.
And so, you know, the phases of recovery, there's the detox phase. Okay. That's the physical pain. Yeah. There is the honeymoon phase, which is where the dopamine is rapidly rebuilding in your brain and it exceeds its normal balance. Okay. Right. You're like, man, this is great. You know, I love being sober, but then that recorrects itself. And then that's where the wall phase comes in. It's like, man, is this what recovery is all about? And that's why it's so important. You know, at all phases, but that's why it's so important to be plugged into a support group, and with a with a mentor, therapist, counselor, sponsor, whatever it is, to be there during that wall phase, because that's where we take risk and we go do a moral inventory on ourselves. And when we do that, I get to answer the question. Now I see why. I see why I did this. And, you know, I find out what my character defects are. And my character defects, that's what relapse behaviors are, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so all the way down to if, you know, Stacey, if I start cussing, okay, if I start cussing, I'm in fear.
Right.
I mean, it's literally that's, I mean, you know, I've dissected it down that tight in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I've got to talk about it.
Yeah.
But it, talking about it, it's been real hard for me because I have true childhood trauma. Okay. Yeah. Real childhood trauma.
Right.
That, you know, affected mental health. And that's another thing we got to address in our next show is mental health.
Yeah.
Sure. Remove that stigma. But, you know, and so then when I drank alcohol and I did drugs, I started to feel like you looked.
Yeah.
Right. I wanted my insides to match your outsides.
Right.
And so, and when I did that, in order to keep that feeling, what did I do? I would do more and more and more. Okay.
Right.
Then I had consequences. Okay. And so I would drink more to feel good about the bad decisions I was making.
Right.
And then I would drink and do more drugs because I was creating self-inflicted trauma. So now you've got this spider web of all this stuff and you're trapped and it leads to suicide. I mean, it will lead to jails, institutions, or death.
Right.
Because we truly think that we're bad people. No, recovery is not about getting good. Okay. It's about getting well.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
100%.
And we're not bad people.
No, you know, and I think that's what people think. Sometimes sometimes people can be their own worst critics of themselves, you know.
Right here. I mean, I still struggle with it to this day. You know, I won't use the word struggle. Let me change the wordsmithing. It's a challenge for me. It's an opportunity for me to grow.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
at least I recognize it. I recognize it. That's the great thing is I recognize. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very important. And I think one of the things too is realizing that the past is the past. You can't change the past. You can focus on the present and you can make changes for the present to make a fruitful and positive future for yourself, because too many people live in the past. They dwell in the past. Easier said than done, but somehow you have to let go knowing that we can't change what has happened, you know, but we have to learn how to cope with that pain, all those things that happened when you were growing up, all those things that happened, you know, how do you deal with that pain? How do you let go of that pain and getting that pain out of you and then releasing it? I think, you know, it makes a big impact, and then kind of freeing yourself from everything that's happened. And I think forgiveness is a part of it too. I feel like if we don't have to hear someone say, I forgive you. But I think we need to either forgive ourselves for the actions that we've done and maybe the actions we inflicted on others, or we need to forgive people who have done things to us. And we don't have to hear them say, I'm sorry, but we have try to learn how to forgive them and release it, I think. What do you think about that?
No, it's beautiful. I mean, I can't counter that. I mean, you're exactly right. And, you know, forgiveness sets us free. But we don't forget. Okay. We have a brain and you know, where there's memory there, and we don't forget, but we forgive, because when I forgave everybody, the supernatural happens. I mean, the supernatural, you know, when I forgave everybody, you know, for, you know, Matthew 6, you know, 14, this is my translation. He says, he goes, if you forgive the ones who have hurt you, and the next verse says, I'll bless your game. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, because God can't do anything with me if I'm holding on to resentments and anger.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm holding on to that, it blocks me from the supernatural, the spiritual life.
Yeah.
And so when we do forgive that, then he uses us. He uses us to go pay it forward, where we get to share that story of forgiveness. And, you know, I even got deeper, you know, regarding my grandfather, you know, and You know, when we have a resentment, Stacey, towards a person, place, thing, institution, whatever it is, it's because I play a role in it. Mm-hmm. I play a role in it. Right. You know, if I loan someone $5, okay, and they don't pay me back and I'm resentful at them, mm-hmm. you know what the role I played in it? I loaned them the money, yeah. you know? And so the role I played in it with my grandfather was simply this. I chose to hold on to the resentment. Mm-hmm. I chose to hold on to it. And that's the role I played in it. And once that was set free, it's just been amazing where it's just a really free life. So
I think holding on to resentment is the worst feeling. I think that destroys a person inside is when we hold on to resentment. We don't realize how destructive it could be because every single day, whether you realize it or not, it's eating at you. It's literally right. eating at you.
Well, resentment is a symptom of fear, unresolved mm-hmm. fear. So when I break down fear, it's an opportunity. It's the opportunity for my faith to grow, or it's an opportunity for me to go to prison. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that is it. And so if I don't do anything with the emotion or feeling of fear, okay, it turns into a resentment. Mm-hmm. If I don't do anything with that, it turns into anger. Yeah. If I don't do anything with anger, it turns into rage, then to isolation, and then into paranoia. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that paranoia state is where the thoughts that are in my head, I really believe them and they're in my own voice, you know, yeah. As simple as sending, I always use this example of sending a text, to your loved one. Let's say your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you know, you send a text, I love you. And they don't respond and you go through all these stages and then you get to paranoia stage. All right. Yeah. And you truly think that they've left with another man or another woman. I mean, right. that's where we go.
Yeah.
And then we end up shooting dope in our arm and getting arrested. And
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
She or he comes down to visit us and said, What happened? They said, you didn't return my text. I'm sorry, but I lost my phone.
Right.
it blows up. And, you know, that didn't happen to me, but that's really that's a simple example of what we do. So what is the solution to that? Talk about it.
Talk about it.
When we get in that paranoia state, we call that person and say, hey, I'm in my head right now. And, if that situation called me, I said, okay, you said you love her, but you didn't ask a question.
Right.
You didn't have to respond, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and that's where we learned that expectations always sets us up for resentment. Always. Yeah.
And that's a very good statement. You know, if we don't have expectations, then we can't get disappointed. It's when we
that's
set
right.
expectations on others and they don't meet up to what we think they should meet up. That's when we fall into that trap of those negative emotions that follow.
That's right. So it's, and so that's what I love to talk about is that we are all addicts. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and that, you know, the seeking the invisible, you know, here's the deal, Stacey. My goal is not to influence others. Okay. I don't have that kind of power. Right.
Yeah.
My goal is not to be popular, you know, celebrity, you know, my God he's not interested in celebrities. He's interested right. in servants. Okay.
Yes.
And so that's not my goal, but my goal is to simply help people see life through God's perspective and not the world's or culture's, you know, perspective.
Yeah.
And so that's what I live my whole life in. And when I start seeing that, and what that means is like when stuff I think is bad happening, yeah. all right, and things that are done to me that aren't okay, mm-hmm. why would a God allow that to happen? A loving, good God.
Yeah.
Well, when I look at it through his perspective, as crazy as stuff is, if I look at it through his perspective, I go, and I'm connected, I'm like going, I see you. And then I get to share those stories on platforms like this, you yeah. know, because my grandfather's story is saving a lot of people's lives.
Oh, for sure.
It's unbelievable because I'm looking at it through God's perspective.
And I've met so many people that had similar situations happen to them, and people keep it for secrets, you know, for years. And even people had that, you know, they may have not touched them, but they went past the bar, let's say. And then the other person, you know, that child, you know, or that teenager realizes that, and the experience, the trauma, that those seconds, those minutes never leave their head. And you know, and it can really traumatize someone their entire life. It could traumatize them, you know, even there in adulthood, in relationships, you know, and it could destroy you if you don't get the right help.
And that's so well said, because it's buried, you know, keeping those secrets and talking about it, and no one's going to believe me. You know, that's what I struggle with. You know, no one's going to believe me.
Right.
And, you know, and my mission also, have a lot of missions. I have, you know, another mission is that, you know, I'm not trying to demonize anyone. I'm not trying to demonize my mom and dad. I'm not trying to, you know, campaign against, you know, child molesters. Okay.
Yeah.
And what does that look like now that I see it through God's perspective? Mm-hmm. All right. What that looks like is like, wow, what did my mom go through?
Yeah.
You know, because of what she did, you know, I mean, I couldn't imagine what she went through, you know,
right.
And what my dad, you know. And so when I look at it through that perspective, I get some, you know, relief, you know, because, hey, resentment, anger is a luxury I don't have anymore.
Yeah.
I can't. You know, it's killing the entire human race. Okay.
Oh,
I'm not
for
big
sure.
on opinion, but
no.
It's resentments. I mean, that's what's killing the human race.
It is. And you see it every day. And it was when I learned how to let go of anger and I brought forgiveness into my life, I think it turned me into a completely different person. It's a powerful thing when you can release that anger and you can bring forgiveness into your life, no matter what you've been through, and not point the finger and try to blame people, and just work on what happened, work on releasing the anger, and then learn how to deal with stress, I think is a big issue, especially for addicts, because we're always going to be followed by stress. Stress is just a part of everyday life. But how do you deal with stress without grabbing the bottle? Or without grabbing a drink, or without going to drugs, you know, because some people, the moment stress enters their life, they just don't know how to cope. So the first thing that an addict does is they grab something that's going to relieve them and help them cope with it, so they don't have to feel that stress.
That's right.
You know?
And I recognize it because I do it, and I did it. Okay. I mean, not drugs and alcohol, but you know what I'm saying? I catch myself, you know, doing it. And it's, you know, like, it's easy, you know. So if I were to give a suggestion on how to forgive, what works for me is the first thing is to look at the role I play in it. And when I see the role I play in it, and then I accept it. And then when I've truly accepted it, there are no resentments. So true acceptance has no resentments.
That's
what true acceptance is. And so, you know, that's where, you know, I hear this say, you know, praying for them for 2 weeks. Okay. And it'll go away, you know, okay. God, please give them pancreatic cancer and they die a miserable death. You know what I mean? yes. But, you know, have them run off a car, you know, highway or something like that. But no, as soon as I look at the role I play in it and accept that, then that's where the freedom comes. And that doesn't mean we go hang out with them. No, I'm not suggesting that. That's God will make that bright and clear.
Yeah.
But because it's about you being free. And then here's the other thing is that, you know, why haven't these people, you know, apologized to me? You know, hey, here's the deal. If you think someone owes you an apology, that means I have a resentment towards them. If I think someone, this person owes me an apology, that means I have a resentment.
Yeah. And you see that all the time, you know, a lot of people want that apology, you know, and I've come to, you know, learn that it's not, we don't have to hear them say it. We have to learn to forgive. And like you said, I was going to ask you, you know, to give us an example of how to get over and be able a step towards forgiveness. And you just said it right now. And
Oh, cool.
Because I think that's very important, you know, and that's a great example, you know, and just to be able to take that, understand, you know, and in your own eyes, realize how you took a part in it, and then, and then let it go and say, okay, they did this, I did this, and, you know, and I forgive myself for doing this, and, you know, I don't hold resentments towards the other person. Is that how you would go about it? Is that where
you? Yeah, I mean, I would even break it down even, you know, more simple.
Please.
I'm resentful at this person because, and this is the role that I play in it. That's it. I've got to accept the role I play in it. The sooner I can do that, accept the role that I play in it, the forgiveness grabs a hold, you know? Sometimes, what the people that I'm resentful for, once I work through that, I actually owe them an amends.
Oh, okay.
You know, sometimes I owe them an amends. But yeah, that's my suggestion on that. Go ahead.
No, I like that. I like that, you know, you broke it down even simpler, and then and it's, you know, you realize your part in it, and then you forget, you know, you basically forgive yourself and make amends with yourself. And then you kind of set it free in a sense. Is that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, so if I'm driving and I pull out in front of someone and they're honking at me and, you know, I'm doing all these hand gestures to them and I'm resentful at that person all day long. Okay. And it ruins my day. Well, there's two things happening there. What's the real problem?
Yeah.
Wasn't that guy. Okay. Or, I go, you know what? Here's the role I played in this. I pulled out in front of him.
Yeah.
I pulled out. That's the role I play in it. And I'm going to accept it. And it's like, you know,
right.
And then sometimes it, you know, it gets, you know, deeper. You know, I always say this is that, you know, myself, my whole life, I was watering the leaves of the tree, wondering why the tree was dying. You know, what's the real root? You know, we got to get down to the root of what the problem is. And every time it's fear. It's, you know, it's fear.
It is fear. I think fear plays a big role.
Fear of losing something, or, you know, something's going to be taken away from me. And, you know, I struggle with, I'm a lot better, and, you know, abandonment issues, obviously. And then, you know, loud voices and, you know, fear that, you know, I'm in a relationship, engaged to an incredible person. And when we have healthy conflict, which is new, you know, healthy conflict where we're talking, and let's just say voice inflection goes up, I immediately will go in my head saying,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I'm going to be homeless. That's how radical sometimes I'll go in my head.
Right.
But then I have to calm down and breathe. And I give her a really good listening to, because she's just trying to share with me how she feels. And because I listen, she actually helps me.
Right.
And plus, she's got a radio and TV background. Sometimes I don't want to hear it. And a lot of times when I get amped up, it's because she's right.
Yeah. Sometimes the truth could hurt. You know, even though we know somebody else is right, we sometimes don't want to hear it, even though we know that they're right.
Well said. Well played. But I'm looking forward to the next shows, and I'd like to tackle these tough topics, you know, and solutions to trauma, and address, you know, things that people want to hear that are they're too, I don't want to, scared or embarrassed or not brave enough to ask, you know, and then a big thing is helping the families, you know, the families of the loved ones, you know. They actually, you know, to tease that topic, I mean, the families are actually sicker than the actual addict.
Yeah.
because their drug of choice is actually the person who's in active addiction.
Yeah. It's very true. You know, and it's sometimes hard because if you come from a dysfunctional family, you know, it's hard to separate sometimes yourself from your family. You don't want to, but sometimes you have to separate yourself or give yourself distance because it's an unhealthy family role. You know,
right.
Maybe you could see them, you know, and say, you know, and visit for a short period of time on a holiday or something. But sometimes being around somebody, you know, or more than one person, you know, that has dysfunctional behavior that really triggers you in a not so good way. That's a hard problem that a lot of people tackle.
I love talking about this stuff. I mean, I love it. And when the reason why I love talking about it is because I use my personal experiences. Okay. Yeah. I can't talk about building a skateboard company. You know, I don't have a personal experience.
Yeah.
I'm gonna lie to you. But as far as using these personal experiences and the solutions to them, I love talking about stuff like that.
Yeah, I think these would be good, great topics to tackle because I think so many people go through all these things and then I even know, you know, it's a lot of times I meet people, I know that they are either in recovery or they have addiction problems because when you know so many people, you know the behaviors, you know how mm-hmm. people act, you know how people talk, you know the body language, and you could just tell, you know. And, you know, you could just pick up on the energy, you know, and, but I do feel bad for people who are kind of, they stay in a closet, you know, either they stay in denial and, or they're just too, embarrassed or afraid to open up to others about what's going on in their life.
Yeah. 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 It's that stigma, you know, and, you know, if someone's listening or watching and, you know, if you have to, you know, if when I would explain, when I'm explaining, I'm lying. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when I would, you know, make it bright and clear that, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. I cut back. I'm drinking only, you know, 4 drinks a day. Okay. That's a red flag because I don't talk like that about cereal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't talk, you know, about anything else, but I'm just cutting back. And the thing is, they come up to me and they say that I didn't ask them anything.
Right.
You know, I didn't ask them anything. So if that has to be explained, what they're really doing is crying out for help.
Yes.
They're crying 100%. Out for help. You know, it's that deal asking for a friend. Hey, I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's real, but it's something that needs to be addressed.
100%.
And, you know, and the other thing I love to talk about is the real crisis. Our real crisis today is the missing man. It's the nuclear family.
Yeah.
You know, it's time for men to take back the dinner table.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's definitely a topic that needs to be addressed in our society. Now, if you had to take everything we talked about today and you wanted to emphasize to the listeners a couple of important takeaways, what would you like to say to them?
True acceptance has no resentments. Yes. That's one of the main things is, and also that we are all addicts. We're all addicts. We are addicted to visible things to try to fix our invisible problems.
Yeah.
You know, and what is the solution to fear? The solution to fear is to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my personal story is what got me to the other side was a spiritual awakening. A relationship with a God of my understanding, which is Jesus Christ, not the church Jesus, not religion Jesus, you know, the true Christ in the book, you know, the Bible. And
yeah.
I believe in that. So that's what's working for me.
Yeah.
And so that's a takeaway right there.
Yeah.
That's a lot to take away.
It's a lot of takeaways, but they're great takeaways. I like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have important meaning to them. Well, before you go, can you tell everybody about your new book? Because it's an amazing book.
Ah,
I want you to tell people.
Yeah, so we signed with Krishanda Lee Perez out of Los Angeles. And she is writing our book and we're going to turn it into a film. So it's really excited about that. So it's called 300 Miles. This is a journey that I made back to Dallas. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's 300 miles. And so stay tuned. We're looking for a September of 24 release on that. So
excellent.
And that has been, and that deal, and we can talk on the next show, that has really, talking about forgiveness, you know, I've had to go open some doors that I had nailed shut.
Yeah.
And so what do we do when we go into the past? Okay.
Right.
We can't go there alone. And
no.
So, you know, so some things, you know, were coming up, and as a result of some fear that I'm going through and just my life today and stuff like that, that, you know, it, that started triggering stuff. And I got emotional, you know? And so
yeah.
I had to really look into it, but it was an opportunity for me to grow and look at it through God's perspective.
Right.
You know, of what the mission is. So, but yeah, 300 miles, super excited about it. And so it's going to talk about, the cool thing is this book is, it's going to be, it's going to tell the story. But when people close it, all right, the people who wronged me are the heroes, because mm-hmm. I saw it through God's perspective.
Right.
And so that's the way I want it to be, because they're truly forgiven.
Right.
And I don't even talk to these people anymore.
I love that.
So,
and I think that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to separate yourself from people that you, because you don't want to be around people that are going to drag you down. You know, the people that you know that are going to be the vacuum that sucks all that energy from you. Those are the people mm-hmm. you want to stay your distance. But like we said earlier, as long as you can forgive in a healthy manner and let go and then move forward in your own life, that's what matters.
Amen. And, amen.
Well, this has been amazing, Michael. I'm so, you know, Michael is going to be, he's part of our podcast community. He has a podcast series, and he also has a podcast, M2, The Rock, on our podcast channel. And he's going to be doing a series of different topics related to addiction and, you know, family trauma and getting through trauma and lots of different, he's going to be giving lots of different tools, strategies, and techniques on how to overcome the hardships in your life so you can live a happy, healthy, and productive life. But thank you so much, Michael, for coming on the show today. You know, I'm very, very excited.
So when thank you, Stacey. And when I say thank you, okay, is that this helps me. I do this because it helps me stay clean and sober, and me sharing and getting out of self for 35, 40 minutes. All right. Mm-hmm. It puts me in the safest place in the world. And that's right here, right now, because that's where God's at.
Right. I love it. I agree with you 100%. I'm on the same road you are.
And also for your viewers, Cowboy fan. Dallas Cowboys. Everybody up there in New Jersey.
Well, I always said, the Cowboys always had the cutest little butts. And I.
Oh, I've never said that.
No, I know you never said that. But I would always joke around, and then because we would have the, you know, a lot of Giants fans over here. But I'm like, you know what? Dallas does have cuter little butts over there. I kind of got to admit.
You're funny. You're funny. Well, I'm excited for the next show.
Yeah. All righty. It's great having you on the show today. I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much, Michael.
Yes. Thank you, Stacey.
All right. You have a great day.
Yes, you too.